And we're joined again on The Scoop here today by John Folkey, the executive producer and radio host for the Timberwolves Radio Network. John, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you, Seth.
Well, the Timberwolves got a big one last night. They were in Washington taking on the Wizards and battling throughout the game. They were able to really pull away in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Wizards 34-21 as they win 116-111. And John, with all of the different positionings that have happened in the Western Conference playoffs over the past couple of weeks, and with how the Wolves have done on the road recently, certainly good to see them be able to get that win last night.
Yeah, it was huge. And it was, you know, the type of game that maybe, you know, Minnesota loses earlier in the season when you think about being on the road against an Eastern Conference team and kind of, you know, scuffling through the third quarter and then finding themselves down by 10 in the fourth without Jimmy Butler. You know, I think earlier in the season, maybe they don't have the resolve to come back from that. But after they found themselves down by 10, they put together a big 14-0 run, really a game-changing 14-0 run. Nemanja Bjelica was huge during that span. He had, I believe, 10 or 12 during that stretch. Ended up with 13 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns hit a huge corner three. Jeff Teague with a steal and bucket back the other way. And credit Towns for defending the inbounder and forcing that turnover. Andrew Wiggins was big. He had a big basket during that 14-0 run. So there was a great balance to Minnesota's lineup. There was great contributions from everybody. You look at the plus-minus in that fourth quarter, and Karl Anthony Towns, Nemanja Bjelica, and Jamal Crawford were all plus 13. Wiggins was a plus 12, and Tyus Jones was a plus 11. So that was the group that really got Minnesota back into it. And then, you know, they were able to close it out from there. But big, big win. And, you know, when you big in the sense that, yes, it was a comeback win. Yes, it was a road win, all those things. But once more proving that, hey, in tight games, this team can win, even without Jimmy Butler, even when they're down by 10, you know, in the fourth quarter on the road to a team that's fifth in the Eastern Conference. I think that gives these guys some confidence. And, you know, when we look back to last week, a three-game losing streak and, you know, dropping from third to sixth in the standings, felt like the sky was falling. And as you watch New Orleans, as you watch Portland, as you watch some of these other teams, you know, Utah put together these extended winning streaks, and Minnesota was in the midst of a losing streak, something had to happen. And you hope now that with a couple of big wins here, Minnesota can carry some momentum and maybe string together a couple to solidify their spot in that playoff picture, because things are so tight right now, Seth, that last night after the Wolves win, they went from sixth up to fourth, and then 5 minutes later after Oklahoma City won in Atlanta, the Wolves dropped back to fifth. So, I mean, you covered three playoff spots in the span of about 5 minutes there last night. So every win matters, and that certainly was a big one.
If we look at what the Wolves have done since Jimmy Butler was injured in the game against the Rockets, Nemanja Bjelica has started a majority of the games in his place. And you look at what Bjelica has been able to do. He's had five games in double figures. He had 17 points last night, 30 points and 12 rebounds in the loss to the Celtics. He certainly has stepped up his play with an increase in minutes.
Belly's been a beast. And last night you mentioned the 17 points, but I think he had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and a handful of steals too. And he didn't shoot it great through the first three quarters and really came alive in that fourth quarter. And I really love the way Belly's playing right now. He's scoring. He's stretching the floor with his three-point shooting. He knocked down a career-high 6 in that Boston game that you referenced. He's rebounding the basketball. He's getting up in the passing lanes. He's creating steals. He's creating deflections. And he's been a big part. He's playmaking. And that's kind of, you know, when we talked about what we lost with Jimmy Butler, you knew it was 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a couple of steals per night. But there was the intangibles, the playmaking, the leadership, the defense, you know, the toughness, the intensity, all those types of things. And we didn't expect Belly to step in and give you all of those. But Belly has risen to the occasion, and he's given you some of that. And Karl Anthony Towns has raised his game. Andrew Wiggins, for the most part, has raised his game. Jeff Teague has. And so it's just really incumbent on everybody to give a little bit more. And, you know, obviously the spotlight would be on Belly because he stepped into that Jimmy Butler role. And He's really, really elevated his game and has been a big part of why Minnesota's been able to stay afloat and pick up some wins here with Butler sidelined.
John, we've seen Derrick Rose play in his first couple of games in a Timberwolves uniform, and they're trying to get him back into game-playing shape. He was really not doing anything for a while after he was bought out by Utah. What have we seen from Rose so far, and what can we expect from him the rest of the way?
You know, I think it's really too early to tell, and you want to talk about a small sample size. I mean, just his minutes with the Wolves, you know, he had 7 on Sunday. I'm not sure what he ended up with last night, but he was part of a group with Tyus Jones and Jamal Crawford. We've seen that lineup now in back-to-back games, and it struggled in the second quarter against Golden State. I think they played much better last night, and, you know, off the top of my head, I don't have his plus-minus, but I think he ended up right about even in terms of plus-minus last night. So, you know, we've seen, you know, small samples of what it would look like with multiple point guards, Rose being one of those. And, you know, just on the season as a whole, we haven't seen a whole lot of Rose, period. I mean, he played in 16 games when he was with Cleveland and then waived by Utah and, you know, obviously didn't play during that stretch before signing with Minnesota. So we've seen Tibbs sort of experiment with that small lineup with Crawford and Tyus and Rose out there, and maybe there are some opportunities for that, you know, to get some extended minutes as we head down the stretch run here. So it gives you definitely a different look and some versatility. But, you know, as far as his impact right now, you know, moving forward, I think it still remains to be seen because we just haven't seen a whole lot of it.
John, I want to go back. Over the weekend, the Timberwolves took on the Golden State Warriors, and Steph Curry out with an ankle injury. But you look up and down that lineup, they've still got Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. And the Timberwolves able to come away with a 109-103 win in a game that felt like a must-win, and the Wolves still able to get it done.
I think it was a must-win, Seth. I mean, Minnesota had dropped a season-high 3 straight. We talked about, you know, how they were falling in the standings as you're watching New Orleans win 10 straight, Portland win 10 straight, you know, Utah win 18 out of 20, and it was a bad time to be dropping a couple of games. And it was, you know, Minnesota all season long had not dropped more than 2 straight games, and suddenly they're on this 3-game skid, knowing that you've got the defending champs coming in. You've got Washington, you've got San Antonio, you've got Houston, and the L.A. Clippers still to come over the next week. And so I think there was a sense of desperation. And when it came down to the fourth quarter, you know, the game was tied going into that final frame. Karl Anthony Towns was fantastic. 14 of his 31 points came in that fourth quarter. He hit 2 big shots in the final minute, helping Minnesota close the game on a 5-0 run to get that victory. You had tremendous defense, you know, 1 through 5 by Taj Gibson. He was switching on everybody, and he was able to hang with the smaller guys and bang with the bigger guys. And Andrew Wiggins, whether he was on Klay Thompson or switched off on Kevin Durant, just did a great job of forcing those guys to be inefficient. I mean, they put up big numbers, but they took a lot of shots to get there. And Belly, well, the numbers might not, you know, leap off the page like they did in that 30.6 three-point game against Boston. Belly was solid and gave you a lot in terms of, you know, his ability to hang with guys defensively, spread the floor a little bit, do some playmaking, rebound. And so really that was, you know, the type of balanced attack that you need to beat very good teams like Golden State, like Washington. I mean, I think it's back-to-back games now, 6 in double figures for Minnesota. And at different times, different guys have stepped up. You know, in that fourth quarter against Golden State, it was Cat. Last night, it was Belly. But, you know, it's not just get the ball to those guys and look out. It's Belly had a nice little run. Then Cat hit some shots. Then Wig hit some shots. So, you know, Teague with that defensive play last night. And same for that fourth quarter against Golden State. So there's great balance, great versatility to the lineup, and that's what you need if you want to beat some of these really, really good teams.
John, just looking at the Western Conference playoff standings, and this will likely all change within the next several days, several times. San Antonio at the 9 spot right now, and it is just so weird to see them outside of the playoffs. They've gone every year for the last, 20 years under Greg Popovich. With the rumor that Kawhi Leonard is going to be coming back at some point, how likely is it that the Spurs are on the outside looking in?
You know, it's amazing. You think back, 97-98 was when this stretch started for San Antonio. They missed the playoffs in the 96-97 season, and they have made the playoffs every year since then. And now, you know, in danger of missing out. And obviously, it's incredible to think about that run, but it's also incredible to look at what they've done this season. For much of the year, they were in that three spot, well missing their best player in Kawhi Leonard. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge in and out of the lineup, Pau Gasol in and out of the lineup, Tony Parker in and out of the lineup, and, you know, same could be said for Manu Ginobili, who's gotten some rest days here in the twilight of his career. And, you know, for the most part, they were a top four team for much of the season. Now, like Minnesota, their slide came at a very bad time. Luckily for the Wolves, they were able to mitigate it, you know, and snap it at three. But San Antonio just went through a stretch where they went 2-8 in their last 10 games leading up to last night where they knocked off the Orlando Magic. And so whereas Minnesota, you know, was able to limit their slide, San Antonio really went through a rough stretch. And the thing to look at is, you know, I don't know how many games they have left against teams above 500 and so on, but, you know, can they kind of limit the damage and get on a little run over the next couple of weeks? Or, you know, is Utah going to continue their hot streak? Is Denver, the LA Clippers, you know, those teams that are ahead of San Antonio now, if they keep winning, that makes it even more challenging for San Antonio. And, you know, there was a report that Kawhi Leonard was going to be coming back tomorrow. And obviously with Minnesota facing the Spurs on Saturday, you had that in the back of your mind. But it sounds like he will not return on Thursday. And so I haven't heard whether that means he'll be back Saturday or whether that means, you know, he's going to be out for even more of an extended period of time. But it's an uphill battle for San Antonio. Their skid came at a really bad time as some of these other teams caught fire. And, you know, their streak is in severe danger of ending this season.
Over to the Eastern Conference, you look at the top of the standings in Toronto, already having clinched a playoff spot, 50-17 on the season. And it seems like they are getting a little bit lost behind the talk of the Celtics and also the Cavaliers. How legitimate of a chance do the Raptors have to get to the NBA Finals?
It's a great question because, you know, stop me if you've heard this before. Toronto had a great regular season and then flamed out in the first round of the postseason. Now, this year feels different for a couple of reasons. Number one, the changes that Toronto made kind of to their philosophy and how their offense is run, how the ball is shared, you know, their emphasis on the three-point shot and their depth. I mean, their bench has been fantastic this season, and their starters obviously are very, very good, led by DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. So they've got great balance. Their offense has been, you know, completely retooled and modernized, if you will. And they've posed some challenges, obviously, for teams. And, you know, when you think back to years past where it was much more ISO, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and then in the postseason, you know, you run into a very good Cleveland team or a very good Boston team or a very good Miami team or whatever it was, you know, this year feels different because of the changes that they've made, but also because, you know, Boston got off to that great start, but, you know, how much do you trust them now? And they're dealing with a slew of injuries. I mean, Kyrie was out last night. You have Jaylen Brown out last night. You know, Al Horford was questionable. So there's just a number of guys that are dealing with issues for Boston in terms of injuries. Marcus Smart with that torn ligament in his thumb. And then Cleveland, I don't trust Cleveland right now. I don't know about you, but the moves they made at the trade deadline, while everybody was talking about, you know, how they hit a home run, to me, those moves really didn't move the needle that much. I mean, yeah, you got some nice pieces and you got a little bit younger, but, you know, does Jordan Crawford, Larry Nance, really, you know, George Hill at this stage in his career, does it really elevate your team that much? And obviously Cleveland will look different when Kevin Love comes back from that injury, but even still, they're now in the four spot. And Indiana was a game clear of them. I think Cleveland ended up winning in Phoenix last night, so it's probably back to a half game. But Indiana's been playing great basketball right now, and they're starting to you know, get on a little run here with an eye on nabbing one of those top four spots. So I think this year is different for Toronto because of the changes that they've made, but also because of the landscape of the Eastern Conference and how different it looks from years past, and, you know, how the dominant teams of years past don't look so dominant this time around.
Well, one thing is for sure, it's going to be a crazy finish, and we'll hope that the Wolves can continue to put the pressure on and grab a playoff spot for the first time in 13 seasons. John, thanks so much for joining the show here today. We'll see if the Wolves can keep it rolling, and we'll check in with you again later on down the road.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Seth.